Ladies and gentlemen. Hold on. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. I am 24. This is my podcast, 24s. Hold on. I'm back. All right. They're going to talk more. I just thought that I would play Cody Rhodes' intro song. Because, of course, he won WrestleMania. WrestleMania in this past weekend. Great event. I think I'll probably talk about it. We'll kind of see what happens here. I'm a little bit tired. Kind of a weird week, hard week. So it's been a weird week. You know what? You know why it's been a weird week, right? Awesome weekend. Iowa versus South Carolina, Sunday afternoon, like 2-3 o'clock in the afternoon, followed immediately by WrestleMania, my first WrestleMania that I watched ever, pretty much. And I had a huge test today that I had to study for. And I was like, I'll study for it this weekend. Didn't do that. Then I was like, I'll study for it yesterday. Didn't do that either. And today I go in with all of my other classmates, and we probably all just bombed it collectively as a class. God, probably, it's probably going, that's probably it. That's probably the end of the straight A dream. It's kind of why I didn't podcast over, I don't want to say over the last couple of days, but yesterday. I mean, I may at this point move the schedule back from Monday to like Tuesday. I don't know. We'll see what happens. Need a new chair. Talked about on Friday or Saturday how I was like, maybe I'll be able to get a new chair. I was like, maybe I'll be able to finesse the league. Maybe my bank made a clerical issue when it came to checking fraudulent checks. No, not really. And so now, all of the payments went through correctly. My bank statement is my bank statement. It took them like 4 days to make my my bank statement correct, but it is currently correct. It is what I was expecting it to be. So it's just like, I was like, no more awesome stuff that I was going to get. I mean, technically there is other stuff that I have to get, but it's not the same. Or it's not the same. It's just, it's different. I don't know how to describe it. Sorry, I'm just looking at the Dodgers into the game against the Twins today, 6-3. Dodgers, go Dodgers. Tyler Glasnow was absolutely fantastic. He was phenomenal. Thank you, God, for Tyler Glasnow and Yoshinobu Yamamoto. And then we got Clayton Kershaw coming in freaking June or July or something like that. Oh, Dodgers are up. Dodgers are way up. But, yeah. I kind of just... It sucks. It's like I wanted to get a new chair, wanted to get a bunch of other stuff. I actually had an Amazon order just ready to go. Called my bank. I was like, hey, is my bank statement is my bank statement correct? They said yes. Like literally 2 days later, or not even 2 days later, excuse me, but a day later, they were like, no, the old bank statement that we told you was correct, it's not correct. You need to cancel that order, that large order that you got from Amazon. I was a little bit miffed. But, oh, man. Straight A's are... It's going to be hard for me to get that. Because it's like, my professor, who I like the person, I do not like the pedagogy. Pedagogy is essentially like the way, the science of teaching. And so, this teacher goes for a lot of different teaching methods, kind of like new age and kind of radical teaching methods, where they use what's called active learning, which essentially means active learning, I guess, isn't that bad, but essentially she has us teach ourselves the course. So she'll have us, for example, go in and create lesson plans for ourselves in an attempt for us to learn the material better and be able to explain the material better, which in theory is a better way of learning something, is being able to teach it to others because you understand the material. The problem is that if you don't understand the material, or more specifically in regards to grades, if we are not being tested on the material, then it's just like it's kind of hard. And so for the last 3 weeks, we have, as a class, been teaching ourselves the tests or the material. Problem is, the test is not based off of the material that we learned or that we were teaching each other. And so I walk into the freaking test today, and I'm just like, I don't know any of the fucking things that are written on this test. She was like, and then you want to know the issue? You want to know the issue? The real issue? She said, the professor said, again, I like the person, but the professor was like, if you looked at the study guide, if you did the study guide that I made for you, then you'll be able to pass the test. And I was like, there's questions on the study guide that aren't really involved with the test and things of that nature. But then it's like, personally speaking, I would then have to go back and study all 4 chapters that the test are on. It's like, what's the point of me even going to class? She said, like, multiple times she would test us off of the things that our PowerPoints are on, and she didn't. It was very frustrating when I walked into class. I was like, I'm not going to study because I know that this isn't going to be, like, I know that, like, what I'm studying isn't going to be on the test, because what I studied last month wasn't on the test. She was like, the professor was like, I'm going to let you guys use your notes because the research papers that you guys turned in over a month ago, I finally got back, by the way, today. But she's like, the research papers that you guys turned in a month ago were so bad that I'm going to let you guys use your notes for the test. And I was like, oh, wait, oh, that's not good. Bad for me is an 85. But still. Gosh, man. I was like, when I walked into class and I was hearing all of this stuff, I was like, it's so over. So over today. I got an alert from school saying that, or from one of my professors saying that, just don't even bother coming to class tomorrow, too, because of apparent inclement weather. I haven't, you know what? Usually I get notifications in some way, shape, or form. Like, usually I can just go on the school's website and be able to be like, oh, okay, the school is shut down tomorrow, because that literally happened twice this semester alone. And now it's like, I don't have that notification. Like, they usually post it on their school website, and they were like, I thought they were going to do it again, and it's just like, nope. Let me go on the school's Twitter. My school has Twitter? I mean, they haven't put up anything since. Hold on. I mean, they haven't put up anything since August when it comes to, like, their Twitter, so they don't use that at all. I'm looking at some things surrounding Giannis right now. Gosh. Anyways, let's talk about sports. I mean, where should I begin in regards to sports? Because in reality, you know what? Let's start with women's basketball. Because let me be very, very, very clear. On Friday, when I go and I have the Music Matters podcast, I will take the biggest, let me repeat that, I will take the biggest of victory laps around the whole situation surrounding J. Cole and Kendrick Lamar. I'm going to take a big victory lap. I'm walking it. I'm running rackshaw. Whole victory lap. Oh my God. Am I taking a ridiculous victory lap. Because once again, the lyricist J. Cole, once again, back down from an obvious fight as it looks like the Suns are going to go down hard to the Clippers. 66-33? What? At halftime? Huh? Suns are like kind of in danger of being booted out of the sixth seed. And if the Lakers win tonight, which the Lakers are losing against the Warriors tonight, if the Lakers win, I think they kind of go up, but they're down by like 9 points at halftime. It's 71-60. It's like it's a freaking scoreigami right now when it comes to the score. I mean, the Lakers are one game behind the Suns. Technically speaking, because they have two losses, the Suns would have to lose two more games on top of losing. Yeah, no, they would have to lose tonight. I mean, it could happen. Probably not, because the Timberwolves, they'll probably beat the Timberwolves because the Timberwolves are going to rest all their players. But it's like, Suns would have to lose to the Clippers tonight. Oh, they play the Clippers tomorrow. They may lose to the Clippers tomorrow, and they also go up against the Suns. So, or not the Suns, but the Kings. We'll see what happens kind of in the next couple of days. But wow, are the Suns kind of in this interesting little precarious situation. Pelicans also could potentially sneak in, as well as, oh, I didn't realize that the Kings were out of the playoffs. I didn't realize that. I thought they were firmly supplanted in the playoffs, but I guess not. By the way, shout out to the Rockets and to that guy that said, Warriors come out to play. Because it looks like the Rockets are not coming out to play, especially after all that bullshit that they were doing. I don't get why bad teams talk shit and why players, I don't even know the guy's name who said and did all that shit talking, and then he didn't even play in the fucking game. He didn't play in the fucking game. I'm like, dude, you can't talk shit, then not play in the game, and then get eliminated by the team that you shot, that you talked shit by. It's like, if you're going to talk shit, make sure that the other team doesn't win. That's like the number one rule. It's like, talk shit, like, back it up. Please. Walk it like you talk it. Please. Oh my God. So, J. Cole, get ready, because I'm about to be very, 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 very obnoxious on Friday. Super obnoxious. But first, great weekend overall. Let me stand up. This chair sucks. I broke it. It's broken. It's done. It's gone. I have to sit in it awkwardly. I'm thinking it hurts my back so much that I'm just like, I should probably just throw it away and just order a new chair, because it's just, this chair sucks. It sucks. Anyways, what can I say about this weekend? Probably one of the best weekends in sports in a long time for the progress of sports and for what's called sports entertainment. Pro wrestling, if you don't know. Because I didn't know. I didn't watch a lot of pro wrestling, or really any pro wrestling, when I was a kid, because I was watching cartoons. I wasn't watching men in tights run around and throw people, you know, onto tables and stuff like that. I'll talk about pro sports in a second, or pro wrestling. Let me talk about women's basketball, especially college basketball. So a couple of years ago, 3 years ago to be exact, actually, I'm watching Ari McDonald in Arizona win their national championship, entranced. I'm like, oh my God, college basketball for the women is fantastic. Loved it. Kind of like for years, and not even for years, but after that moment, I kind of said to myself, I'm like, I'm not really going to watch the men, because the men, I saw the men play. I was like, the men's championship was not as good as the women's. And to be honest with you, a lot of people are kind of self-snitching on themselves when it comes to college basketball, their ability or inability to kind of watch college basketball as well. Like, I heard Shaq say he's never watched women play basketball or something like that. And I was just like, oh my God, dude, don't ever say that. Please, dear God. That's like the dumbest thing you could say ever. But because it's like because he talks about how he rides and dies for like Angel Reese and stuff like that. But I'm like, well, if that's the first time that you saw her play, you didn't see her play last year when they won a national championship. I was like, Shaq, shut up. Everybody shut up, because some of you are like set tripping and things of that nature. It's just like, guys, just shut the fuck up. We kind of knew that you probably didn't watch women's basketball, especially because of the way that you talk about women's basketball. So, 3 years ago, super excited. I was super excited. I still am super excited about college women's basketball. And at that point in time, historically speaking, by the way, if you don't know the history, I had somehow found on YouTube women's, like 18, 19-year-old women's basketball. Because I guess it was because I was watching the men's Olympics. And so YouTube was like, here you go, here's, and I was watching the men's and women's Olympic highlights on YouTube, because sometimes I couldn't catch the games, or sometimes I wanted to watch the highlights of the games. So I guess YouTube was like, here you go, here's the teenage version of the women's Olympics. And for context, I did not know how absolutely stacked that team would be, but that team, and really, and specifically, those teams with women's basketball that we sent to the Olympics, the teenagers that we sent to the Olympics like 3-4 years ago, oh my God, were they filled with absolute fucking savages. These girls that we sent Aaliyah Boston with Caitlin Clark and Paige Beckers and Haley Van Lith. And by the way, this is like when Caitlin Clark is like not well known whatsoever. So she's riding the fucking bench. Just insane, insane levels of play by the women that we sent to the Olympics. And I saw these games and I was like, in 4 or 5 years, essentially right now, really a little bit less, I'm like, the WNBA is going to be filled with a bunch of fucking killers, because you're going to have all these fucking teenagers that play really, really awesome basketball entering into the WNBA and just taking over the league. Aaliyah Boston is in the WNBA. Caitlin Clark now in the WNBA. Paige Beckers about to be in the WNBA. Haley Van Lith did not have a good, I mean, we'll forget about her time at LSU, about to be in the WNBA, among others. And it's like, you look at all of those killers that are about to revolutionize women's basketball after essentially having a phenomenal tournament, absolutely phenomenal tournament for the NCAA. The only terrible thing about the NCAA tournament, let me get this other chair. Hold on. It's like my back is fucking killing me because of this god-awful, god-awful abomination of a chair. Give me 2 seconds. Hold on. I gotta literally move some furniture. My back is out of whack. 2 more seconds. I gotta move some stuff from one chair to another. All right, hold on. Give me like 2 more seconds. I also have to move my chair on my rug. It's not moving. Hold on. What is wrong with this chair? Oh, it's a textbook. The chair won't slide. Give me like 1 more second. Hold on. All right. Sorry about that. Hold on. It's not like perfect, but it's getting there. There we go. Oh, gosh. 2 more seconds. Hold on. Hold on. There we go. All right. Sorry about that. Anyways, so you have all of these teenagers that are absolute murderers going into college basketball. Absolutely have a phenomenal tournament. Phenomenal tournament. Going into the WNBA currently. And they'll be awesome as well. And it looks like, by all indications, Aaliyah Boston and the, I think, because I don't, it's ironic, it's like, I know some things. I don't know everything. I'm moving my chair again, 2 seconds. I don't know everything about women's college basketball. I really don't. It's very limited. But let me tell you something. Comparatively to, like, the majority of people, it's actually higher than the majority of people. But the majority of people don't really know anything about women's college basketball. 2 more seconds. I promise you. I am done after this. When it comes to this chair. All right, I'm done moving the chair. So, women's basketball. Huge ratings, did great, did amazing, loved it for the last couple of years. Loved it, loved the way that it's going, loved the players. Seems like there's personality and there's personas. It's something that's significantly lacking from the men's side of basketball. There just isn't any interesting figures that I can kind of rally behind or rally against in regards to basketball. It's one of the things that is, I don't want to say frustrating, but discouraging about men's basketball, because it's like, what happens when all of these old heads kind of retire? You know, Steph and LeBron really don't have a whole lot much else. And no offense to Giannis and Jokic, their personalities are essentially non-existent. You know, they're not interesting to watch and or to cover. You know, and then on top of that, it's like, well, how are they going to have the 99 bajillion is LeBron James greater and better than Michael Jordan arguments and debates? And the short and sweet and simple answer is yes, obviously, but that's neither here nor there. But it's like, well, what happens when LeBron James retires, when Stephen Curry retires? I remember I saw Stephen A. Smith put out this absolutely horrendous response to LeBron's new podcast, which I think it's phenomenal. He was like, LeBron is trying to influence the media. And it's just like, dude, LeBron is literally talking for about 30 to 40 minutes per podcast episode. He's just talking about basketball and the nuances of basketball. Because, wow, God forbid, a NBA player informs the masses, informs the public what is going on when we watch basketball. Goaltending. They're not going to call that. All right. I was like, how's that not goaltending? Anyways. What is going on with Draymond Green? Draymond Green is so unhinged right now. I don't understand what's going on. It's like, he's getting into arguments with Steph, and Steph is just walking away. Steph is annoyed. I think everybody is just annoyed with the whole Draymond Green stuff, and it's just like, they traded away Jordan Poole, what was it, 6-7 months ago, and now it's just like, yikes. Yikes. For Draymond Green, by the way. Going back to what I was talking about earlier. It just feels like the men's side of basketball just has very little personality. The women's side does. It feels like there's history there. It feels like there is competition there. You know, not to say, like, people confuse, and people who have never really competed in life at any level never really understands, or maybe not even, that's not really, it's not really that people compete, but it's just like people don't really understand, like, what it is to compete against your friends. Like, there's people that are like, oh my God, I can't believe people can be friends with their competitors. And it's just like, yeah, you compartmentalize. You know, you're not necessarily a full-on psychopath. You're somewhat psychopathic, but, you know, you kind of, like, you leave stuff on the floor, on the court. You separate your lives, you know? How you act on a football field, a basketball field, a baseball field is different from how you act in real life, right? I don't mind people being friendly with each other off the court, but on the court, compete. But it feels like there's tension within the WNBA with the incoming class of draft candidates, because there's history there. Aaliyah, she did lose to Iowa last year. She lost to them. South Carolina beat them this year. South Carolina beat Angel Reese's LSU this year in the SEC championship. Iowa just beat LSU this year, but Iowa lost to LSU this year. There's a lot of players from those three teams, and then on top of that, UConn, and then you have Juju Watkins as well, who's going to be super interesting for USC this year, this season and next season. It's going to be a very, very interesting couple of years for women's college basketball long term, with a lot of interesting players in college basketball as well. And I think that transitions to women's basketball as well. I mean, I can't wait to watch the Indiana Fever this year. I can't wait to see whoever Angel Reese goes to, and that girl from UConn and from South Carolina. There's going to be some really, and Cameron Brink as well. Cameron Brink, the Stanford center, as well as a super interesting basketball player. There's just so many interesting basketball players that are just hanging in and around college basketball. I mean, Stanford kind of had like a mini dynasty as well. A lot of those players left, and Cameron Brink was kind of the only person there, so she was kind of on an island, but she had a really, really nice tournament. It's just a super, super fun state. I think it's the best, to be honest with you. I think it's the best era we've probably been in when it comes to women's basketball. Like, people still think that women's basketball is terrible, and they keep putting out these horrendous highlights like Shaqt and a Fool, except they use these horrendous highlights of women's basketball as reasons as to why women's basketball players don't get paid, implying as if they aren't good at basketball, you know. And it's just like, dude, like, Shaq literally has a segment called Shaqt and a Fool, which is exactly what it is. But the difference is there's millions of people who watch women's or men's basketball than women's. When people watch women's basketball, shocker, they get more money. But the reason why isn't because it's a bad sport. It's just it's not a watched sport. It is what it is. There's some already great players that are already established. Sabrina Ionescu. I don't know how to say her last name. I'm not going to lie to you. She's awesome as well. She almost beat Curry in a fucking three-point contest. I mean, honestly, this has been inarguably one of the best years for not just college basketball for women, but for women's basketball as a whole. And again, like, this whole Sabrina, I remember idiotic Kenny the Jet Smith was like, if she was shooting from the three-point range of women, let's have her shoot at the... It's just like, dude, shut the fuck up. If she was actually in the fucking shooting contest, she would have tied with Damian Lillard for first. It's like, dude, have some fucking self-awareness. You have that going on. And then, of course, you have the NCAA. I said it like 2 years ago. Why do I get the men after the women? I mean, granted, I love that the women play in the afternoon. I love the time slot. I love it all. I love it, love it, love it. Why is the men's tournament after the women's tournament? Like, why do I watch the NCAA championship for the men after, like, a day later, but after the women's? When it's, I wasn't interested. I literally turned it on, left it on, kind of had it on in the background while I was trying to study, but really I was writing poetry for creative writing. I was like, I'm not watching this crap. I don't care about these games. It was Purdue versus UConn, and UConn beat Purdue. It was like, okay, and I'm not running around being like, oh my God, Purdue lost. UConn won. I was like, I don't even know who's playing. Who's playing? I don't know. I don't care. It's been great for women's basketball. It's been great overall. Great year. Can't wait for the draft. When's the draft? I think it's next Monday. I'm not going to cast it. I'll probably have it on. Yeah, it's next week. It's next Monday. I'm not going to cast it. I'm just going to have it on in the background. But it's like, I try to watch women's basketball. It just comes on at weird times. But I will check out the Indiana Fever this year because they do have the number one pick. And it's like, if you don't know the Indiana Fever, they drafted Aaliyah Boston, the monster from South Carolina, last season. And so this season, it's like they get Caitlin Clark as well. So that should be a whole lot of fun. Give me like 2 seconds. Let me check out the draft. I'm trying to like, oh, I'm on the WNBA experience. They don't have the draft standings. WNBA. I'm interested in your draft. Why do you not have the draft order on your website? I'm going to have to go to like... Hold on. Let me just go NBA draft order. I have to go to tankathon.com to get the fucking order. So the Indiana, they get the first overall pick, and then the Sparks, then the Chicago, the Los Angeles Sparks. Than the Chicago Sky. I'm kind of shocked that I kind of know like a lot more about a lot of these teams than I thought. There's 12 WNBA teams, by the way. So you got the Chicago Sky. Los Angeles, they have two first-round draft picks in the top five. I mean, granted, it's a 12-team like league, so there's not a lot of picks to go around. But still, you have a lot of picks. You have like two of the top picks in the fucking draft. It's ridiculous. I can't wait. I can't wait next Monday. It's going to be so much fun. There's going to be so many awesome players that are going to be able to go. Wow, 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 wow. It's going to be super, super fun. But yes, WNBA, tip of the cap. Women's basketball, tip of the cap. Awesome, awesome, awesome job. Anyways, what should we talk about here? Oh, yes. Yes, 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 yes. A weird kind of conversation has started to break out. And that is that the Patriots are very interested in J.J. McCarthy. As well as now reports are saying another team is kind of interested in J.J. McCarthy, and that's the Minnesota Vikings. They're both super fixated on J.J. McCarthy. And it's kind of weird to me because for me personally speaking, J.J. McCarthy is fool's gold. He's one of the players that I'm like sure is not a top five pick. And it's so weird to me to see just how like aggressive people are at targeting J.J. McCarthy, or they want to target J.J. McCarthy, the quarterback from Michigan. And I cannot understand why. I cannot understand their fascination with him. And to be honest with you, I don't understand why. And I completely disagree with it. I think that it is ridiculous that they are targeting him to this extent. And they have choreographed their obsession with him almost to kind of a self like. To no end. It's like, I mean, is it fool's gold? Am I buying something that I shouldn't be? I mean, it is kind of that season where you just lie a lot. But I feel like people, as we get closer and closer and closer to the draft, the more and more accurate reports are on certain players, right? On the reporting of certain players. And so it's just like, well, my main thought is like, why are they so fascinated with this guy? He's not like particularly accurate. He's not particularly consistent. He doesn't do a whole lot of things great, and he's going to need a whole lot of development. Like, is he athletic and does he have like an NFL arm, like a good enough arm? Yeah, sure. But is he like a top three pick? No, absolutely not. Is he a top 10 pick? No, he's like a second, third round pick. The reality is I would feel more confident picking Spencer Rattler in the third round than JJ McCarthy in the first, because I spend less capital on him, on Spencer. And he has really turned the corner. And you want to know what? I'll say it controversially. I feel like if I put Spencer Rattler on Michigan, I feel like Michigan still would have won a national championship. Sorry, not sorry. Minnesota wants him. The Patriots want him. I can't understand it. I can't wrap my head around it. It's insanity. It's like I'm going cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, or everybody else is about this guy. And I'm just like, how? Why? Insane proposition that JJ McCarthy could be a top three quarterback. By all indications, by all measures, it appears as though Drake May has more likely than not fallen outside of the top 4 or 5, somewhere around there, because again, his pro day was horrendous in all intents and purposes. It looks as if that, among a bevy of different factors, have caused him to fall out of the top three. We'll see on draft day. Maybe people feel differently about him. I said that there's like three quarterbacks that I'm not super hot on, and that's Bo Nix, JJ McCarthy, and Drake May. I feel like they've kind of all been overrated for the last couple of years. And, I mean, Drake May was compared to Caleb Williams. I was like, Get that phrase out of your mouth. Bo Nix, to me, has always been kind of the journeyman quarterback that I've kind of always been like. I feel like he's just overrated. And JJ McCarthy, to me, is like your typical Michigan quarterback. A guy that, because he plays at Michigan, bit overrated, but there's really not anything to me that whenever I look at him play that I'm like, this guy is compatible or comparable with anyone in the draft that's being drafted high. I don't get it. I question teams and their ability to do their due diligence and to be diligent on their evaluation of players when I got teams being like JJ McCarthy is a top 10 pick. I'm just like, are you sure about that? But we'll see. Literally in 2 weeks. Draft is in 2 weeks. Should be a whole lot of fun. Let's talk about pro wrestling and then we'll end the podcast here. So, the American Nightmare was, I do not know the terminology. So, the terminology is so weird. American Nightmare, Cody Rhodes. I'm not even going to say the American Nightmare. I'm just going to refer to him by his stage name. And I think it's his real name, Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes beat Roman Reigns for the Universal Heavyweight Champion, or it's the WWE Universal Heavyweight Champion. It is very confusing. He's the guy now. All right? Cody Rhodes is the guy. The belt says so. Technically, the title. It's called a title. Title says so. His notoriety. WrestleMania did, according to Triple H, huge numbers. Box office. Huge stuff. A lot of people were interested in it. And to be honest with you, it was because of Rhodey and also Rhodey. Jesus Christ. I combined Cody and Roman's names. It was because of Rhodey. Yes, it was because of Rhodey. Cody and Roman Reigns had an absolutely fantastic night. I look at it and I'm not really that big into sports entertainment. So I feel bad for Roman Reigns and Paul Heyman because, you know, they're good guys. They're great guys. It seems like they're great people. The character of Roman, I don't really like, you know what I mean? The person behind the character, I feel bad for, you know? I know I'm supposed to dislike Roman Reigns, but Roman Reigns is a very entertaining persona. I never understood why the WWE kind of has this like heel versus babyface, and they never have like kind of a charismatic heel. The heel always kind of just has to be this consistent jackass to piss off the crowd. And it's like, it's just like, I like Roman Reigns as a character. I don't know why he always has to be kind of like this unnecessary jackass. I get it. He's playing the character of the heel. I don't understand why they don't just have a Tony Soprano. You know what I mean? Where they have this antagonist, this bad person, but he's incredibly entertaining to watch on TV, and he's incredibly charismatic. I don't know why they don't do that. I mean, they try, kind of, but it's not one-to-one, you know? It's not one-to-one. WrestleMania was awesome. I watched it. I couldn't believe I was sitting down to watch it. The event was awesome. My first WrestleMania. It's ironic because last year, a year ago, I was questioning some of my coworkers at Dollar General. I was like, why are you guys watching it? And now it's just like, I was literally sitting down to watch it myself. It was exciting. It was fun. I loved the final match with Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns, which I thought was awesome. I thought that whole sequence, bringing out so many different wrestlers to fight off the bloodline as well. The Rock has been absolutely incredible when it comes to some of the promotions for WrestleMania. I was like, how are they just going to be able to keep up attention for like 3-4 months after essentially it was announced that Cody was going to go back and fight Roman Reigns again? I was like, how are they supposed to do this? And I was like, oh, that's how they do it. They have The Rock essentially just be a jackass for like 3 months straight, and it's awesome. Still can't really get behind some of the fighting, some of the rolling around on the ground, but I could get behind some of the I can't get behind it fully because it's fake, but I could get behind like some of the stuff, some of the storylines, some of the fighting inside the match. It's kind of hard to explain. Some of the stunt work, because it is a lot of stunt work, some of the stunt work that they do that's obvious and it doesn't look good and they don't sell it very well and all that good stuff, I don't really like that. But a lot of the stuff I did like, I did really enjoy WrestleMania, and I kind of, honestly, I was watching Raw after Mania. I was watching Raw last night, and I was like, oh, okay. Like, I had to watch it. I was super excited for it. I was super excited to see kind of what they would do after WrestleMania, and it was fun. It was also good to see Cody Rhodes have that championship belt. I think what's going to be so interesting going forward from here is to see kind of like how Cody can kind of carry the organization, because that's kind of what that title means. It's like, now, hey, you know, the keys to the shop are now yours. Now you're the guy. You're carrying the organization now. And it's going to be kind of interesting to see what he does long term, because as much as everyone's excited for Cody to finally finish his story and to finally have his title, finally a Rhodes has a title, I think the more important thing is, how is he going to maintain that title? What exactly is he going to do to continue? And who's going to challenge Cody now? Is it going to be Roman again? I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing Roman and Cody for a third time, but at some point, another antagonist has to come up. I think, you know who I would think would be really, really fun is Dirty Dominic, or Dirty Dom. Dominic Mysterio. He's already like the most hated heel right now. If you don't know, Dominic Mysterio is the son of the famous luchador Rey Mysterio, who his character has like betrayed his father, and now he's kind of like the ingrate son that takes his father's fathering or parenting for like granted, and he hates his dad and all this stuff and all this good stuff. It's a great storyline, but it feels like he just doesn't have any rivals, and they replayed that stick again to like minimum effect. The whole, hey, he's pissed off his father, and now his father's gonna fight him at WrestleMania. They did that again, and I was like, it's not that good. He has to piss off Cody Rhodes. I feel like he should piss off Cody Rhodes, and he should have higher ambitions, because he's a really interesting character. And then on top of that, he's also just despised by everybody. Like, he literally cannot speak on mics, and he cannot deliver promos because of how much he gets booed. He's got to get more opportunities. But it's like, well, who else is going to be besides Roman and Cody again? I don't know. I had a great weekend. Whether it was women's basketball or the WWE, I had a fantastic weekend. Logan Paul retained his championship, the United States champion, against Randy Orton and Kevin Owens. KO. KO Kevin Owens. I mean, it's his initials, KO. Which is ironic, because Randy Orton's initials are RKO, and of course that is his very infamous move that he also does. But I actually like Logan Paul as the United States champion. Logan Paul is the YouTuber turned pro wrestler. I mean, I'll actually say it. I'll be honest with you. I think Logan Paul is a better wrestler than his brother is a boxer. I just think that he's not highly entertaining. They're both entertaining. They both do numbers. The difference between Logan and Jake Paul is that I actually think Logan is good at wrestling. It's not like, oh, hey, he's fighting up against amateurs, because Jake fought against amateurs, or fighters from different organizations and from different sports. He's fighting, you know, like Tyron Woodley and Ben Askren, among others. He's fighting those fighters. And then I forgot who Jake Paul fought recently, but I was like, he's fighting, who did he fight recently? Hold on, let me Google this. Because it's like, this guy that Jake Paul fought, he sold out stadiums. I'm like, why are people paying for these god-awful fights? First and foremost, I forgot, he fought Nate Diaz. He fought Nate Diaz. I was like, what? Then apparently he fought this other guy by the name of Andre, did he already fight Andre August? Like, who are these people? He fought Nate Diaz, I was like, I love Nate, but Nate's not going to win against him. And then he fought against some guy with Rhino on his boxing shorts. I was like, what? I didn't understand that at all. I was like, dude, I don't understand it. But unlike Jake Paul, I think Logan actually has some skill in regards to professional boxing. Can I pivot to Jake Paul for like 5 minutes? I'm going to do it regardless. It is insane to me how consistently relevant like Jake Paul is. Not only after fighting, in my opinion, a below-average boxer and losing to said below-average boxer in Tommy Fury, like he lost to him straight up, but after that fight, he still has somewhat a career in professional boxing, or technically what I would consider to be amateur, or to be realistically honest with you, celebrity boxing. Like, he has a career in celebrity boxing. That's kind of what he does. It's like, call me when Jake Paul beats a top-tier ranked opponent in boxing, then I will give him his respect. Until then, His record is fucking terrible. It's like there's plenty of amateurs, to be honest with you, with better records, but they can't sell pay-per-views like Jake Paul does, and that's why we're giving him attention, because he fucking sells pay-per-views like nobody's business. Who the fuck is this guy, Andre August? Who is he? Hold on. Did they already fight? He's 35 years old. This happened, like, last year in December. I'm like, I don't understand it. By the way, notice how Jake Paul still has not given Tommy Fury a rematch or technically... See how that works, right? I'm like, I feel like Jake Paul is the A-side in a fight that he lost against a person that he lost. Like, that's how much control he has and how much influence he has in regards to his boxing career. He could fight a professional boxer. He really could. But he's just like, bro, I'm making a lot of money and I don't really care. So there you go. Tad bit ridiculous. But Jake Paul, he doesn't bother me really that much. What bothers me is how much attention people give him. It's kind of weird. Like, I don't understand it. And now it's like, I don't get it. I'm weirded out by it. Weirded out by how much confusion, not confusion, excuse me, but how much attention he gets. By the way, speaking of attention, let me kind of shout out the Lakers here. The Lakers are kind of in a grudge match with Stephen Curry and the Golden State Warriors. I know the rankings of these two teams are not good right now. Like, they're both in the play-in tournament, technically. Like, the Lakers are, like, the 7th or 6th or 8th seed or something like that. And the Golden State Warriors are the 10th seed. But the amount of basketball, like, the amount of good basketball that they both give us, like, both teams give us, is just insane. Love both teams. Love the amount of good basketball that LeBron and Steph keep on pushing out. And I was watching the freaking Bucks and Celtics. And the Celtics, they quote-unquote have the best team in the NBA for, like, players-wise. But I just saw them freaking get their asses whooped by the Milwaukee Bucks. And I get it, it's down the stretch, and they've, you know, secured a high seed in the East. But it's just none of these young teams, whether it's Oklahoma City or Boston or whomever, none of these teams, they have any experience winning championships. And I feel like they should have played better basketball today. Boston shouldn't have gone out the way that they did. They took out all of their players with 6 minutes left, down like 16. And I was like, if that was the Lakers, like, the Lakers right now, they're down by 12. It's like they're acting like they're down by like 4 or 5. You know, I mean, granted, there's 7 minutes left to play in the quarter, technically in the game, because it's the fourth quarter. But still, it's just like, it contrasts significantly, or the contrast is significant to me, at least, where it's just like the Lakers will probably go down because they're down by 14 with 7 minutes left, unless they just go on this huge scoring run. Lakers are probably going to lose this game, but it's like, the difference between the Lakers and the Warriors versus Boston and Milwaukee is that the two guys, you know, as I talked about Cody Rhodes, who's now having to carry the WWE and pro wrestling, it's like LeBron and Curry have kind of carried the NBA. LeBron has carried the NBA for like the last 20 years. Curry, by contrast, kind of by opposition, has carried the NBA in regards to, like, the force that stops LeBron from winning all these fucking championships. Curry has carried the league in that regard as well. And so, I don't know who's going to be next. And I certainly don't trust Boston or Milwaukee at this point. I think the situation this year, and when it comes to the NBA, is the same situation last year. I think whoever comes out of the West wins the NBA Finals and wins the NBA Championship. Whether that's Denver, whether that's the Lakers, I think that's probably it. I don't think Denver loses to anybody else besides the Lakers. And at this point, Denver's probably going to repeat because it looks like they're not going to lose to anybody. Because it doesn't look like anybody's as good as them. Not in the East, not in the West. Anything else I got to talk about? Oh, yeah, let me talk about Formula One. I didn't even watch the race this weekend. I thought that it was going to come on later, but I don't know what I was doing, but I was, I think, in bed watching something or about to take a nap, but I forgot to record the other race in Suzuka in Japan, and Max Verstappen once again wins again. Chinese Grand Prix next week, or is it a month off? Let me check the schedule here. Regardless, Max won again. Wasn't really anything to scoff at. Last weekend or 2 weekends ago in Australia, it was, it's the Chinese Grand Prix is in 2 weeks, not next week. But Max won again. Nothing to really scoff at there. Australia, it was Ferrari with the 1-2, and Lando Norris was on the podium as well. He placed P3. It was overall a great race weekend, especially because Max Verstappen had an issue with his car and he had to retire. And so now it's like everyone's now kind of competing in the race, and that was a whole lot of fun. But again, by all intents and purposes, it looks like Max will just essentially take over this season as well, which is sad because he's essentially had this supreme level of dominance for like the last 3 years and nobody's been able to stop him. And there was this interesting radio call with Lewis Hamilton and Charles Leclerc talking to their respective engineers. Charles Leclerc said that that was the best that he could do when it came to qualifying. Lewis Hamilton was like, how does Max Verstappen has half a second on me on a lap? And it just, a lot of people used both of those quotes to highlight just the separation that Max Verstappen and Red Bull has over literally everyone else. It's disgusting. It really is. Can another team beat Max Verstappen long term? Yes. Will it be this year or next year? Probably not. We'll kind of see what happens. It's sad because it's like I wanted this season to especially be competitive. If I was honest, I probably could have told you that it wasn't going to be competitive this season as well. I thought maybe at some point, this year or last year, maybe Ferrari could have gotten back into it because Ferrari had a nice, decent car at the start of 2022. And I was like, all right, they're going to be able to challenge Red Bull this season because they had a really awesome car that was winning a lot of races. And then they just gave up that season for some weird reason because I guess performance went down or whatever the case may be. And there was just, for me, no reason why Ferrari just shut down production of their 2022 car, transitioned to 2023, and then the 2023 car sucks, and the 2024 car sucks as well. In regards to Red Bull, of course, but I don't know. We'll see what happens. Carlos Sainz is also having a great season as well. He's going to be replaced by Lewis Hamilton. Everybody's like, I don't understand how he doesn't have a racing seat next season, because Lewis Hamilton in the same car is better. That's why. Does it suck? Yeah. I've heard people say that. I don't know if Mercedes is interested in Carlos Sainz. I was about to say Carlos Hamilton, ironically enough. I don't know if they're interested in Carlos Sainz as a driver, Mercedes. I don't know if they're just going to swap driver for driver. I kind of doubt it. We'll kind of see what happens. Maybe they go after Fernando Alonso. Maybe it looks like they're going to promote their Formula 2 or Formula 3 driver, their development driver, Anton something, or I don't know his last name, but or his first name, to be honest with you, but this prodigy, they're looking to promote into Formula 1, and that may be what they plan on doing. That's probably what they plan on doing, so we'll kind of see what happens next. Maybe Fernando Alonso is apparently he may be interested in Mercedes. We'll see, but I don't know. It's all downhill from here. Max is probably going to win a shit ton more races, and Max will probably win once again. Congratulations to Max, but I want racing to be fun or interesting, and it kind of isn't right now. Anyways, I'm peacing out for tonight. I will see you tomorrow for Draft Talk. We'll talk about edge rushers and linebackers. Ladies and gentlemen, 24's Podcast.